These are the droids you're looking for.
Over here!
Death Star alert.
You're looking for.
This is madness.
It blew my mind when I read about it.
No, it's 100% going to be the best film in the franchise.
This is madness. Star Wars is only now starting.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
These are the droids you're looking for.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You talking about
these are the droids you're
looking
for.
I felt nauseous with just pure excitement.
These are the droids you're looking for.
Over here. Why isn't it December 15th already?
And then I saw the Porg for the first time speaking.
And I'll tell you what, it really whets the appetite.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Ryan and Sam, I am Mike. Sadly, without Chris, he's off on a mission for us. You know, Chris is going to go and find more guests to join the pod because we loved having the guests over the last few weeks. But also, guys, nice to be back with the three of us talking about some of the latest news in the Star Wars galaxy. And I think you will enjoy getting a little bit more in-depth on some of the many topics we can discuss in the next year and a half before Episode 9 comes out.
Yeah, there's a lot of time to fill, which we're excited about. I was going to say it's the OG crew, but that's not true. Chris isn't here, and Sam and I weren't even regulars at the beginning. So
Ryan's just rewriting history there.
The OG, the three creators of the Droids You're Looking For podcast, back together again.
Chris would
Our
love
friend
that
Chris, who will be trying out next week, may be joining the crew soon.
Yeah, he was really on a probationary period, and so we're giving him the week to cool his heels and really think about his performance over the last few pods, and we're going to think about it as well, and hopefully we can invite him back. We're sure that he'll listen to this very promptly as soon as it goes out, just like he does all our episodes.
This is really dependent on him returning as to whether or not he can disagree with at least one guest before he returns. I mean, I guess he'd need to do it on the pod, but he's going to have to just vocalize how he put a guest on their heels a little bit. I think that's part
even
of
just
his
a
job.
Light, even not even a disagreement as much as a like he just not an agreement. You know what I mean?
Or just honestly, just even like a softer agreement.
Yeah.
Just so eager.
Maybe a hmm
or a hmm. Agree to disagree.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Or that's it. That's interesting. I do it in meetings all the time. That's interesting. And that's certainly a conversation we can have.
Well, as we start this podcast, the big news in the Star Wars galaxy is that Star Wars Clone Wars will return at San Diego Comic-Con. We found out from Dave Filoni at the end of the panel of the 10th anniversary of Star Wars Clone Wars that the series will be returning for one final season, 12 episodes on the new Disney streaming service. Guys, this means I've got to catch up because I have not seen all of Clone Wars. I find it is my biggest gap in my Star Wars knowledge is having not watched that series. And I'm very excited that not only will I get a chance to watch it and catch up on all of it on Netflix, I also will be able to watch these new episodes, which the track record of Dave Filoni to me means I'm very excited for all of this.
It's great. I'm working through it right now for the first time. Like you, Mike, it was a big blind spot in my Star Wars knowledge. And I've been going through and it's so great because it's an animated show. So it's light and it's fun. And it's obviously geared more towards kids. But man, the episodes go down so smooth. I can burn through like four or five of them in a night, the stories, it's serialized storytelling. So it actually pays off to do that because you kind of see a story arc. It's almost like a comic book in that sense where it's, like you have an arc that lasts three or six issues in a comic mm-hmm. book series. It's three or four episodes, of Clone Wars. You get a nice little story nugget. I love it.
Yeah. I like you, Mike, they were a big blind spot for me in fandom. Both all of the Filoni series, actually, Clone Wars and Rebels. I've started both of them. That's kind of slow going, which has nothing to do with interest. It has more to do with time. But Rebels I really like, and Clone Wars, which I think I'm on season two now. I agree with you completely, Sam. It's fun, like little arcs that last a few episodes. They're kind of, it's serialized in that way, but you can jump in kind of whenever. And the thing I really noticed, and you know, the series started in 2008. For a serialized weekly animated series, it's so beautifully directed. The camera movements are amazing. The quality of animation is really incredible. So it's exciting. You know, there's been 10 years since then. It's exciting to see them coming back. I imagine since they're doing kind of a limited run, I think you said 12 episodes, Mike, that, you know, for this Disney streaming service, they'll probably be sinking even a little more production value into it. So that'll be exciting. And on a bigger note, it's exciting to see the Disney Lucasfilm bringing back properties from before the acquisition. Because, you know, at first it seemed like they were kind of like shooing that away. You know, when Clone Wars got canceled, it was kind of because of the rumblings that Disney was buying. And the fact that they're kind of digging back like that is exciting to me.
I'm excited. Yeah. I know, Ryan, you wanted to discuss some of the properties that could come back, and we'll get to here in just a moment. But I'm curious, sure. Have you read, and it's actually on StarWars.com, that there is a specific viewing order for the Clone Wars episodes that is not the way they are laid out on Netflix? So the way that each season is laid out is not the way they're intended to be viewed. So if you go to StarWars.com, they'll give you the appropriate order, which jumps to like season three, within season one, and then you have to jump around at some places because that's the way it should be. And I don't know why they didn't air the way they wanted them to, but that's, to me, I've been trying to keep that open on my phone for any time I go back and I want to watch, because I've only watched a few episodes, and be like, oh, okay, what is the order here? You know, you watch the first five and they're a little jumping around, and then you get into watching the rest of season one, and then you take another leap at times because they just have things in different orders. I'm not quite sure why that is, but I don't know if anyone else had looked up that order before.
I was unaware. That's cool.
I just saw that. Since the announcement, and since there's been a little bit of a resurgence in, you know, it's like been making the waves again. And so I just saw the viewing order and I'm torn. I think at this point I'm far enough in, I'm going to keep watching it basically in Netflix order, which is, part of it is like laziness. It's so easy. Like, yeah. Again, I put it on and I let it run for, you know, two and a half hours and just like blow through episodes. And, I may not be giving each episode the full attention it's due, but I think I'm giving it maybe an appropriate amount of attention because I'm getting the full story. And and I am noticing, Ryan, I like that you brought up, like, the camera movement is so good. It's got the for being a CGI, you know, computer animated cartoon show, essentially, it feels like it's got the full weight of the Star Wars films behind it. It's got the sound cues, it's got orchestrations that work really well. The voice acting I find is usually really, really, of a good quality. And they do, they lean heavily on and crib from the sort of same sources that Lucas himself was using in all those films. And so you see these kind of beautiful shots, especially for something that, I mean, a lot of cartoons don't have anything other than just a flat, straight on view of the action. So, I think, you know, Mike, whenever you really dive in, and Ryan, if you keep going, I think I might be a little bit further than you at this point, just cause I do kind of go on like binges, pretty regularly. Once or twice a week, I'll bang out four or five of them. But, I think it's nothing but great news.
Yeah, it's cool. Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it'll be fun for our listeners to, as we dive into it a little bit more, we'll kind of revisit it for them. It'll be a first time for us, but we'll revisit some of the storylines for those of you who've already watched all of the Clone Wars.
Yeah, it's really cool because I've been aware of it for a long time, and I know that it explores time periods in the Star Wars universe that really interest me. And I also know, because of the quality of the show, it is like this 120 episodes, and then Rebels has four seasons, I believe. I know that there's so much Star Wars story there that I haven't experienced yet, that I think that's part of my reluctance to kind of dive into it, because I know that when I'm done, I'm like, well, that's it. You know, it's kind of this like safety for me that I'm like, between episodes, there's always the Clone Wars and there's always Rebels. And if I fly through them, then all I have is my silence between this episode.
for me, a big part of it too, I'll just say it has, and Mike, it'd be interesting to see if this is true for you. It has, the series has improved upon episodes 2 and 3 for me. And I don't know that I won't go so far as to say that, like, oh, it makes them better movies to me. But what I will say is providing more screen time and story time to the Obi-Wan Anakin relationship, mm-hmm. and to more time to see Anakin in a leadership and heroic role. You know, on the one hand, it seems like, man, he seems like he was a really good dude and then must have turned real quick.
But it increases the tragedy.
But well, it does that. But what it really does is it just, like, it does bond me to the character more than I, you know, more than just Jake Lloyd and Hayden Christensen were able to do in what time they had. You know, like, this series, even though it's a different, you know, it's neither of them voicing the character, but, like, it's that character, and now I'm spending more and more time with Anakin, and it's made me. It's helped me more heavily invest in the pre-Vader Anakin. So yeah, I'd be interested, you know, if that happens for you as well.
That's exciting to me. I'm excited about that, because I do feel like adding to that mythology for me in a positive way would be a really good thing. Because even though the prequels, I've been finding more of the positive, thanks to you, Ryan, and thanks to our rewatch.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. I do think that I could always use a little bit more, where I'm like, okay, this character now means something different because of what I've experienced in that series. The other thing that I'm very, very excited about is that, which surprises me, I can't wait to see Maul's arc in Clone Wars, because I know how much that is beloved by a lot of fans of the series, enough to be to the point that Rebels was, when they brought Maul back in Rebels, they were very excited. And then when you bring Maul back in Solo, my initial reaction was, why would you ever do that? That completely, and again, forgive the pun, I think I've done this before, that completely undercuts Obi-Wan's moment in The Phantom Menace. And I don't feel like they should have done that. But now that I've seen a little bit of what they did with Maul in Rebels, I'm actually just excited. I feel like it's an interesting character that I want to see explored further, which is not something I would have ever thought that I would say.
I think it's interesting too, speaking to what you were saying about it kind of giving more weight to the prequels. I think, and this may be, it could be misconstrued as a criticism of the prequels, but and I know that Dave Filoni was spearheading this, but I think that the Clone Wars animated show really showed, it kind of shed more light on what George Lucas was going for with the prequels and the things that were seen as, you know, kind of the biggest offenses in the prequels. Like, I was watching a scene the other day where, like, Jar Jar Binks was doing something. By the way, shout out to Ahmed Best, who put out a beautiful Instagram recently about, you know, overcoming the hard time of being Jar Jar Binks. And again, to the toxic fandom, these are real people. Anyway, there was a scene where Jar Jar was doing some real Jar Jar shenanigans. You know, he was, like, juggling plates and stuff. And in a cartoon, you don't even think twice about it. You're like, yeah, he's just, like, kind of doing a funny thing, and it's, like, actually, like, really charming and stuff. And it's like, oh, like, this is how Jar Jar Binks is supposed to exist. You know, not just in a cartoon, but meaning, like, he's just this kind of, like, cute, like, funny character. And within the world of the animated series, it fits in, I think, more to people's expectations of that than he did within the films. But I thought that was kind of an interesting aspect to that. And to see, like, George Lucas, I think the Clone Wars was aimed more at the audience that George Lucas was trying to appeal to.
I think that larger point, Ryan, is a really good one and not one I considered. I will say, I don't say this to, like, undercut your argument, but, like, I do sort of dread the Jar Jar episodes of Clone Wars when they come up.
Are there, like, whole episodes?
There are episodes that are, like, fully devoted to, like, Jar Jar and or Gungans. And
was it Ahmed Best? Was he still doing the voice in the series?
I think he did.
That I didn't know.
Well, I'm glad
I
got some more work.
I'll look it up. Keep talking.
I'll be happy if I got some work.
But, you know, I will say that just, like, as someone who... those episodes skew younger. And that's always going to happen. You know, every cartoon series, I mean, one of the ones that's frequently you know, named as one of the best cartoons ever, Batman the Animated Series, which I grew up on, like, has a, you know, probably half a dozen episodes throughout the run where it's like, oh man, a bunch of kids have to help Batman, and like,
those are my
favorite. Those aren't fun, but
they were 23 episode seasons. They were doing one a week. It's like, you know, any show, we forget now in the age of like 12 episode seasons, there used to be a lot more filler.
Totally. And I recognize it for what it is. I guess all I'm saying is that while I do think that the Clone Wars is like better serving and better reaching the audience and the tone that Lucas may have been going for with the films, your example specifically of Jar Jar is like, yeah, but I still roll my eyes when his episodes come up, you know, because it's just like it's aimed way too young for me. Like, I don't, you know, the bits don't work on me, you know.
Sam, I'm very disappointed to hear that you did not enjoy the Kids Detective Club helping out Batman in the Batman the Animated Series episode. Because it's exactly what every kid wanted when you were watching that series.
Oh, it's a rough sit. No, I wanted to be Batman. That's what I felt like the people who made the show didn't understand. I was like, I don't want to watch a bunch of kids be near Batman. I want to be Batman.
They did for the most part. They understood for the most part.
As a follow-up, Ahmed Best does do the voice of Jar Jar in the Clone Wars TV series.
Good for him. That's good.
Well, that's great.
And as a
second
follow-up, man, Batman the Animated Series, what a work. Am I right?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I have the whole series on iTunes and on DVD.
Yeah, I have the DVD.
Just beautiful work. Oh, God.
I believe I saw that it is coming to Blu-ray. They are remastering it this year.
Yeah, it was available on Amazon the other day. The pre-orders went up.
There you go. That's what I saw. All right.
Very exciting.
Seemed to be in my household.
Oh, God. That show was so good. Anyway. They drew on black paper. Anyway, go
on. It's so rad.
We could do, look, let's be honest, Batman and the Animated Series pod is in our future. So that'll be the next.
It's been talked about.
But George Lucas, I want to go back and look at this again because he was involved at the beginning of the Clone Wars animated series. I don't know how long he stayed involved because he has spent a lot of time with Dave Filoni as they were building out that series and kind of telling Dave Filoni about what he should be doing with it and how to fit into the mythology of the Jedi. And I believe I was just reading something today from Filoni talking about the new series, is that when he sat down with George, he pitched a couple of Jedi being the main focus of the series. And he said, oh, so this is Obi-Wan and Anakin. He's like, wait, we can actually play in that world? We can use Obi-Wan and Anakin? And that's how they went forward with using them as two of the main characters in the TV series.
Oh, my God. That's the dream. That's incredible.
So it just made me wonder how much more was he involved? Was it just at the start? I mean, I'll have to look that up. But I am kind of curious if either one of you have watched on Netflix, because when you talked about the visually stunning, great direction, some of the animation that you wouldn't think would be good enough to be on either, what, Cartoon Network or Netflix, that just kept me thinking of Trollhunters. Guillermo del Toro's show on Netflix is beautifully animated. Feels
so
like it's
good.
A feature film. The action sequences, I can't believe that this is just a show on Netflix that doesn't actually get enough attention. It is fantastic.
It's really great. The production.
Oh,
Sam, you should watch
it.
It's so good. The production values are great. The writing is beautiful.
The writing is really, I honestly felt like in the last year and a half, maybe outside of like The Last Jedi, it was my favorite piece of, you know, televised or film fiction.
It was one of those things that I was jealous it didn't come out when I was like 12.
Without a doubt,
I loved it now, but I was like, if I saw this when I was 12, it would be my favorite thing that's ever existed.
Yeah.
Sam, you should watch it.
Have you finished the whole series, Ryan?
I have. It's great.
Okay. I've only seen the first two seasons, so I need to watch the last.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And what you were saying about it looking like a feature film, like an interesting thing, this is really getting in the weeds for all my aspect ratio geeks out there, but the Clone Wars is shot, quote-unquote, in anamorphic, which is, I think, the first time I've ever seen that on television, that it's shot in the in the super widescreen, which is just like a really cool touch, and it keeps it you know, visually coherent with the rest of the Star Wars, because all the Star Wars movies are in 2:3:5, which is what the aspect ratio is, 2:3:5:1. And I thought that was such a cool touch. And for them to do that in 2008, you know, before, you know, we were entering quote unquote peak TV, but
everybody had a widescreen TV.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. People must've been mad. Get these black bars off my TV.
You know what I love about Clone Wars? I love the little sayings that open each episode. Like where it would normally say a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. In the
blue, like that announcer guy?
Well, the announcer guy says like, no, he gives
Oh, I know what you're talking curious about. What you were It'll talking say about. Like revenge is like a dish best served cold, like things like that.
Yeah, but I love all those. They're little Yoda-isms. They're little Jedi-isms.
It's a dope show.
It's so good.
I wonder if they'll continue that with the new season.
Mike, you asked a question earlier.
Yes.
I was very interested.
Which was?
What? Are you going to let him know what it was?
Are you talking about the one that Ryan brought up?
No, I'm talking about the one that you brought up, which was like, what are other things?
Oh, Ryan brought that up beforehand. I just said it. I
that was
wind
that was offline, Mike. You're showing behind the curtain.
I know.
No, I think he said it on here.
Maybe I did.
I think he said it to you, Ryan.
Yeah, he said it like it was his idea.
I was stealing it.
Ignoring our text chain.
Guys, we're gonna. I gave you credit. Disaster. We're gonna have to cut this all. We're gonna have to start
over.
No, leave it in. Leave it in.
I've blown it.
It was Chris's idea. Oh, that's right.
Okay, listen to all our fans out there. I just need to say something. The way this works is we do record these in advance. What you're hearing now, we talked about in the past.
No, don't, Sam. Don't reveal.
Also,
the magic.
You should know the droid heads are united. Front, and you know, we, like a good set of parents, are always, we're a unit, so it doesn't matter whose idea it was. It's that we're here now, you know what I mean?
I mean,
that
just to clarify, I think if you went back, I did
right,
give
honey.
You credit, Ryan, right at the start. I didn't try to steal anything.
Mike, I would never accuse you of any such thing. I think Sam is really trying to drive a wedge between us here.
Yeah, he's trying to get us off the pod.
Yeah, but
I think you're right, honey.
He wants the pod. Thank you, dear. He wants the pod all to himself. But no matter who said what, you know, and who's to know, it's not like we're recording this stuff. what this did bring up, because this is something from, this is a piece of Star Wars property from before the Disney deal that people thought was dead because of the Disney deal. So that means that, you know, they could be bringing other things back. And I thought it'd be interesting to talk about other things we'd like to see come back. Aside from the series of solo films that I don't think they're ever bringing back.
Hmm.
So don't just, we may not want to talk about that. But, you know, reaching back even further, we'll be accepting answers like Ewok Adventures. You know, if you want to see Caravan of Courage 2. You know,
another
whatever.
Holiday special.
Well, another holiday
at,
special.
At
a remaster.
Risk, yeah, at the risk of the obvious, I was going to say we should do an annual holiday special. We should have a life day celebration at what's Star Wars Land called? What's the
Galaxy's Edge?
Galaxy's Edge every year should have a holiday celebration.
Oh my god,
that's a
life
great
day
idea.
Celebration.
Actually,
call up Disney's marketing.
That would be great. And then they'd like march out George Lucas, and he'd just look grumpy.
Kathy, checks can be addressed to... No, I'm not giving my address on the pod. What are you, crazy?
Droids Pod, Kara, New York City, baby.
It'll find us.
But yeah, I guess I'll get started. I have a few. Most of them are video games because they affect... The one that I thought of immediately was Knights of the Old Republic. So yeah. Knights of the Old Republic is, for those of you who are unaware... They were action role-playing games made by BioWare. The first one was made by BioWare, the second one by Obsidian, back in the early aughts for Xbox, that people often consider the best Star Wars stories ever told. Now, I was not an Xbox kid, I was a PS2 kid, so I missed out on this at the time. I've recently tried to go back and play them, but if you know anything about playing games from like 16 years ago, there's like this... sweet spot of like when 3D games were just getting going, that it's really hard to go back and play them just from a gameplay standpoint. So I tried doing that, and I was unsuccessful. It just wasn't grabbing me. The story was interesting, but you know, whatever. And I thought this would be the time for a Knights of the Old Republic revival for BioWare, who's done stuff like Mass Effect now and Dragon Age, for them to bring that into current gen consoles. I think it would be an amazing thing. I think it would be a huge hit. People have been kind of clamoring for it for a long time. So that's the first thing I thought of. of like a Lucasfilm, because I think it was LucasArts back when they existed, for them to bring back. I think that would be very exciting, especially with the success of Battlefront and Battlefront 2 and stuff like that. So that's my hat in the ring.
That was the first thing that came to mind for me, but maybe that's just because I didn't have a lot of other, I mean, I don't have enough expanded universe to say, oh, let's go in and make something for this, mm-hmm. where I didn't indulge enough in it. I also more so thought of something outside of Star Wars that was a former Lucasfilm project. Young Ooh. Indiana Jones. Let's bring it back. I wouldn't mind. That would be a series that I'd really enjoy, especially, you know, as you can say, if you did it right, if you cast it well and you went all in, that's, I would very much want to watch that again.
You get a Miles Teller in there?
Yeah. He wouldn't do it as a TV series, though. He's probably only into the film game, so you need to find someone probably. Willing to do a television
soon
series.
Soon enough, he'll be doing stuff on TV.
I can't wait for FX's Whiplash, the series.
I'm trying to think. When I read the... I guess it was like the Thrawn trilogy of books that we mentioned earlier. I know, Ryan.
Here it comes.
You finished yet? You finished yet?
I'm almost done with the first chapter. So yeah, I am almost.
It's close. When I read those, you know, I did the thing. I have a Kindle, and I hooked it up to my library, so I would like borrow the e-book from the library and download it to my device. And like in the back, when I would finish each book, I'd have to wait for the next one to become available, because there was always like a queue of people. They're, I guess, very popular, and the library keeps limited digital copies that they loan out. So I would have to wait between each book, and so I would actually read the like teaser samples, like the back of the book at the end of each novel. They would have like other expanded universe novels. And so I probably read the first chapter of like, I don't know, a dozen books whenever I read those three books. Cause like I would just keep reading the end matter. and one of them, I mean, gosh, this is awful. I'm not going to be able to remember like any detail, but it went back, like, I think at least to the Old Republic, or maybe like earlier than the Old Republic. And it was like talking about the Sith and the Jedi as like deeply like it. I mean, it felt like biblical. It felt like old time religion of these two. Like it reminded me almost of like the Da Vinci Code, where the Sith were like an extremist religious sect, mm-hmm. you know, that like, that felt like they were like the ultra conservatives or something of the, you know, whatever that you know, Catholic group in the Da Vinci Code was. And
was it Opus Dei?
Opus Dei. That's it. Opus Dei. And like mm-hmm. that sort of vibe.
I just remember that. I'm not like a huge Dan Brown head or anything.
No, what I remember is I remember
the number of times
like,
you brought it up in the pod, I feel like you're pretty much the Dan Brown fanatic we all thought.
I'm just
I remember
obsessed
like
with
the Solace or like
with Paul Bettany.
That Paul Bettany, like that character, I never saw the movie, but like his character in the book, like wears a thing on his thigh that like cuts him. Anyway, it's called,
I described the movie as it's fine, it's fine. Cool.
Yeah. Hmm. Now who? Great top A-list director did that, right?
Yep.
Who could remember?
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine. The sequel was better.
It was a movie.
Certainly, no one would say it wasn't a movie.
But anyway, this is getting way off track, but just the idea of like the extreme early days of a society, like kind of like pre-Jedi and pre-Sith being like major things, and like exploring these like almost like the formation of these groups would be really interesting.
Well, I would
think.
Watch.
Like,
yeah, that would sound. I would love to see the birth of the Jedi.
So that's maybe a mix of like expanded universe revival stuff, but also I clearly don't know what I'm talking about, so it's a little bit of just like wishful thinking.
I think one of the things they should bring back is the extended universe. I think that I know that they've quote-unquote decanonized them and made them legends in as much as they've kept them in print and stuff, but I don't see any reason why, at you know, even if it's just an experiment to see what if they could just keep two timelines going, you know, where,
I mean, because they're making their own money off their own extended universe. Because they're creating so many different books and comic books and other series and things.
And
that
that's fine, but and I get that, but also like within the comic book world, we've all been dealing with 50,000 timelines forever.
I'll tell you, fine.
You know, like the Marvel Cinematic Universe has a, you know, like characters that in the comics have been dead or are currently dead or like are dead right now but weren't dead before. Well, I guess that's true of anyone who's dead. But you know, people who are alive now that were dead, you know, like it's just, you could have as many timelines as you want. So say they have the original extended universe timeline where they're working off the Thrawn trilogy moving forward. Then we could bring back a Young Jedi Knights, my favorite book series from when I was a child. And, you know, due to my lack of reading now, maybe my favorite book series still.
I don't know. For me, the change, like when, if you call it the expanded universe and we're in the times where it's still owned by Lucas and there's the expanded universe, or if you are in the Disney era and you call it Legends, for me, there is zero distinction between that. Like, I look at them the exact same way, which is like, yeah, they're side stories. They're not quite official like the movies, but they are what they are, and they're like a good story.
Well, but for some people, though, they considered it canon until it was decanonized.
That's
right, and I understand.
Does that matter? I do understand.
No, to me, it wouldn't, but that's where some people come from.
Yeah,
I understand that there has to be canon,
and
the Keeper of the Holocron has this whole like hierarchy of canon, because even when Lucas was in charge, there was conflicting accounts. You know, there was like the movie canon is the canon, and then there was B canon, C canon, D canon, and there was like literally a rule book for how like if this contradicts this, but it is in this, then it counts. Things like
that. And then people got mad when Disney was like, it's all Legend, and they made it all equal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
But Ryan, you bring up. Look,
I'm not saying that people should be upset, but all I'm saying is that I do understand when people have committed so much time to something, for it to be immediately decanonized, that could be upsetting. However, I think we all need to move on. And also, decanonizing something doesn't make it not exist. You could still enjoy those stories.
Still meant a lot to them. Doesn't change.
Yeah, and it's not like the holiday special where they were like, these don't exist and we're hunting down everything, every evidence of it.
But you brought up an interesting point to me is separate timelines, because I don't think this is going to become a big part of what Star Wars does, but it's very interesting. I know that neither one of you have seen the end of Rebels yet, correct?
Not yet, no.
Correct.
To go back to our conversation earlier, Clone Wars coming back really sets up an interesting possibility, because there were, and this isn't a spoiler really, but there were a couple of allusions to time travel in the final seasons of Rebels by using the Force with Ezra, and the possibility that we could see some sort of Rebels connection within Clone Wars in this new season, even though Rebels is over, because they've opened up the door to potentially having time travel be part of the Star Wars universe.
That'd be cool.
They did it very well, and I won't give away more than that, but I thought that they did it in a way that was intriguing and didn't feel like, okay, this is too disruptive. You know, it wasn't like, okay, you could use the Force to change time at any point. It was a very specialized opportunity and way that they were able to access different points in time. And it did involve Yoda.
Clone Wars Days of Future Past, I suppose.
But I just thought that would be intriguing, and look forward to that when you watch the final season of Rebels.
Mix them all up. Put every, as my friend Chris said, put Superman in it. I don't care.
It's the Patton Oswalt version of Star Wars.
Yeah. So I think this is exciting news, because I think that it does potentially open doors. You know,
I think the other thing I would say that I would throw in there for them doing something with, let's get Dash Rendar in.
Yeah, man.
For our buddy J-Than, who was on last week, man, J-Than Prime, we were talking about Shadows of the Empire, and Dash Rendar's ship was so cool looking.
The Outrider. It was my
favorite
Star Wars ship.
Was so cool. Like,
a heavily modified Corellian freighter.
I would literally be willing for them to build an entire series from scratch that had nothing to do with anything other than the name Dash Rendar and the ship The Outrider, and I'd be like, yeah, I'll watch that.
I loved that ship so much. I would love that. My one of my things was going to be Shadows of the Empire, because it was their thing of like, it was their first like cross media
right
property, and it was this big experiment. Hey man, Bring it back.
Look, I still believe that all of this can happen, even with Solo having not performed well. I don't think that we're at the point where we're not going to see them really milk all the different parts of the canon that has maybe gotten a lot more attention, not just the expanded universe, but some of those things like Shadows of the Empire, like Thrawn. If they felt like they could do a Thrawn film well, I wouldn't be surprised if they did produce it.
Here's the thing. Usually, I'd say that a company falling on what's safe, or a Hollywood studio falling on what's safe, is a bad thing. However, Solo not performing well could end up having a silver lining, in as much as all of this extended universe stuff, or these properties that everybody was afraid that they were going to neglect, they may be a little more reluctant to neglect now.
What is there any like video game that's coming that's not a not like a Battlefront, not like a first person shooter?
The one that we they announced at E3 that is Jedi Order End,
right?
Or Jedi
Order
or something like that.
Yes, the Jedi like Padawan on the run. Right.
Yeah.
That's gonna be awesome. That's what I want. You know what? I already want them to revive that. Green light a sequel. Just go. I'm gonna love it.
Star Wars 1313, maybe?
Yeah, I'd love for them to get back on that. That sounded so dope. It was like Bounty Hunter Planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was a bunch of books. I think I had like Tales from the Bounty Hunters and Tales from the Cantina that just had like very generic like covers that, you know, showed all the like cool side characters from, you know, the original trilogy. And that's like, I mean, I think that's what we're going to be getting kind of in the, potentially in like the Favreau series, or potentially in the Benioff and Weiss series, you know, something that plays in that world of like these side characters who are not only not Jedi, but also like not, just like not important players in the Star Wars, right? You know?
I think I could see that. I mean, I'm very excited. I don't want to see, considering so much of this is theoretical right now, they've been announced, but at any moment they could say, we've taken away the series from Benioff and Weiss, and we're no longer going to make the Rian Johnson trilogy. I don't think that's going to happen, because they don't want to let this all die. They've got to have something in the works, and especially Rian Johnson's probably their best bet, despite how many people are upset with him. I feel like that'll go forward, but you could see any of this not happen because we're still so early in it, and that's kind of part of being a Star Wars fan. When you first heard about potential other films, you're like, sure, we'll see, but then it came about.
And you know what, if there's like a dip in popularity, or you know, whatever, that's happened before too.
Yeah,
you know, on a long enough timeline, Star Wars always comes back, baby.
Well, on that note, I think that wraps up this edition of the pod. We will look forward to having Chris back, and inviting all of you to join us for Life Day 2019 at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. I think, Sam, you get the booking ready. We'll have a meet and greet and a live show. I look forward to that happening.
Yeah, we got block hotel rooms down. I don't know where. I don't know. Florida. It's in Florida, right? I don't know.
We're going to block out a hotel room at the new Star Wars hotel at the park. That'll cost us a pretty penny.
My God. I'm already concerned about the humidity.
Well, that will do it for the droids you're looking for, a Star Wars podcast.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.
Cloners.